Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main generator.
Echo Station 3TA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that clock fire, boys. Right now, I feel like I could take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay. Imperial troops have entered.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Echo Base. This is episode number 139. We're recording this on, this is Monday, April 2nd. It snowed here in this part of Hoth. I was a little surprised. It was, it's April. It's springtime. We're supposed to see flowers and stuff, and we got 6 inches of snow.
6 inches of snow. It snowed here too, but we only got like maybe half an inch.
You're lucky.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, that voice you hear is Eric. Eric, how are you tonight?
I am doing okay. I'm glad to be back on the show.
Yeah, and we didn't have you last week, I guess, right? Was it just 1 week you were off?
Yeah, but I am very proud of the fact that on the week I was not on the show, it took two guests to fill in for my absence. Not one guest. You guys had to get two guests to fill in for my absence. I'm very proud of that.
It's a big accomplishment. We had the two people can almost replace you.
Almost. Almost.
Almost, yes. So, again, this week we have somebody absent. The voice you do not hear is Tim, which, according to Random Chatter policy, everything that goes wrong tonight is Tim's fault.
Everything. Just to get that out. All of the things.
Can I blame the snow we had on
Yes.
him?
Yes.
Okay, Tim, your
policy
fault.
Does not restrain. We don't like to restrain people here. We like to open up and be as all-inclusive as possible, and that includes things for which we can blame Tim.
Awesome. Awesome. So we did it to replace Tim, and unlike Eric, we can replace Tim with only one person.
Yeah. In fact, not that important, right?
We might have an excess.
We may be over-replacing Tim. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the other voice you hear there is Andrea. Andrea, how are you tonight?
I am super excited to be replacing Tim. He's not really happy about that.
No, well, he's not happy because
he's asked you multiple times to be on the show, and you haven't said yes when he's asked you.
Today I had the day off, so, it was perfect time. As soon as I saw the tweet that he wasn't going to do it, I jumped right on Discord, and I was like, Eric, I want to be on the show.
Nice. So Eric asks once, and you say yes. Tim asked multiple times, and you said no.
Yeah, that's good.
Andrea is one of our new hosts on the network. She is actually hosting two shows, right? You're hosting the Type Beam with us.
Yes.
For the Expanse.
Which covers the Expanse, yeah.
Yep.
Is the other show, the name, has it been officially announced yet?
Yeah.
No, it has not yet.
Okay, so we won't spoil that one then.
Liz,
so there's a new upcoming show that's coming out, so we'll have you on that fairly soon.
I have the logos for it. Andrea just emailed them to me today. They look absolutely freaking awesome.
Cool, I haven't seen those.
Yeah, I'll send them to you. I'll sell them to you.
No, I'm not going to buy them.
I tried.
Good try.
And she also appears occasionally on Getting Sidetracked.
Oh, yes. That's true. Yes.
Yeah. And now I'm going to be in every single Echo Base episode. Goodbye, Tim.
She's infecting the entire network. She's contagious.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Before we get to any Star Wars stuff, we do have one announcement for the network itself. We did our spring movie draft recently, which was a lot of fun. Liz hosted because she is the reigning champion and probably going to be continuing reigning champion after this next time. But so she hosted that. She trying to keep the cats in line. We herding cats is not a good thing, and we were pretty rambunctious as it was normally. So, but
always are on the movie draft.
Yeah, it seems to fall apart. Nobody can really control that. We haven't had anybody do a good job of that yet.
It's all the drinking.
There wasn't that much drinking this time.
That's what they told you, but
I was sober through it all.
Drinking off camera, I guess. But now our audience members can participate in the draft as well. We've done this in the past, and we have a link on the website. Eric, where is that on the website? I don't have the link in front of me.
Yeah, no problem. If you go to randomchatter.com/moviedraft, what you're going to see, the spreadsheet for the current movie draft. If you scroll down, you'll see last season's as well. That's just wrapping up. But what you want to do, up at the top of that page, there's a link to my email address. And if you click on that link, it'll open up an email It will put movie draft in the subject line for you. All you have to do is give us your picks. The way it works is you look at what was actually bid on those movies during the recording, during the staff part of the movie draft, and you have 100 fictitional credits to spend. And you spend those 100 credits, you email me the list of what you choose. And then that's how you play along at the end of the season. Whoever has the largest box office draw would be the audience winner. And I have to tell you, this time around, there are a lot of blockbusters, and not all of them went for very high amounts. So you could easily walk away with two of the tentpole films plus a handful of other movies. So this is, if you've never participated in the audience draft before, now's a good time to jump in. We're taking submissions through the end of this week. So I think Sunday the 8th is going to be the official cutoff, but do it now, because if you say, oh, I'll get to it in a few days, you'll forget. So do it now. Randomchatter.com/moviedraft.
Awesome. Look forward to seeing your submissions. We should probably get right into the news. Unlike last week where we had no news, we actually have some news this time around. Yeah. The big thing was actually released today. This was happening out in California today. A few months back, there was, what, six different companies that were being promoted as tied into the Solo film. Is that correct, Eric? Was it six?
I think it was, yeah. I'd have to
look
it up.
The only one that sticks to my mind is Solo Cups.
Solo Cup. Right.
Which is perfect. Right. If there is not a Solo Cup for the movie, I'm going to be really, really upset.
If you have been running a company making cups and your name is Solo, and then after decades and decades, all of a sudden, one of the biggest movie franchises ever to exist puts out a movie called Solo, if you don't jump on that for marketing, you're stupid.
Exactly.
I mean, let's face it.
Exactly.
You can't not make that happen somehow. Yeah, that's the one that sticks out to me too, though.
It's going to be fantastic when they do something with this. I'm really looking forward to getting my Solo Cups.
Right.
And I think Weird Al has to redo a version of, is it Toby Keith that does the Red Solo Cup song?
I don't know. It's a country thing, you know, I'm
not a big country fan either, but I think it's Toby Keith that does the you know, Red Solo Cup. And, you know, it's a fun song. Good drinking song.
What was that again, Lou?
I'm not going to sing it again.
No.
I think Weird Al should do a version of that to Star Wars. That would be awesome. He's got to do that.
I think so too.
And he does Star Wars stuff. He's pretty big in the fandom.
Oh, he's a big Star Wars fan. You know, when he did the song for the Phantom Menace that he did, he did that almost entirely based on spoilers that he had gotten off the internet. It came out before the movie did.
Really? Yeah.
And most of the spoilers he got was from theforce.net. And we actually had him lined up for an interview prior to Celebration 3 back in 2005. And the scheduling just didn't work out. And
yeah,
I didn't follow up with him again.
I'm amazed. I heard that before that he did that with just spoilers. It is so spot on. I mean,
yeah,
it's like I thought for sure he had some, you know, access to the script beforehand. But when I heard that, I was like, wow, that's amazing. But this is not a podcast about that. So this whole story started with talking about Denny's. They had a big reveal today. They're going to do a bunch of tie-ins for the movie. One of them starting tomorrow, as we record this, will be starting on April 3rd, is their new menus tie-in, which will be a, you know, Solo, a Star Wars story themed dishes. I don't think they've had a lot of them released yet, but the
Does that mean the food's going to be better?
I don't know about that. It's just renamed. It's probably the same food options, just new names.
Okay.
So yeah,
Denny's isn't that bad, I guess.
No, actually, Denny's is pretty good. You know,
I think it depends a lot on where you go. The Denny's that we have close to here is not probably the best place to eat, but I've been to other Denny's that are good.
Yeah. Now, did you guys get a chance to see the video that they released today that was tying this in?
Yes.
That was
this
cool.
This was pretty cool. Yeah. Now, evidently, they filmed this on the same sets that they've been filming the movie on in London,
which
I'm thinking as the kids doing this role, this would be, we get to be on set. That's awesome. You know,
right.
But it's basically one kid playing Han, one kid playing Lando, and they're, you know, at the table and they are, you know, playing a hand of Sabacc, and you know, just the eye motions, and they're trying to bluff each other, and it then turns into the real world, and they're basically trading cards, which is what the other big tie-in Denny's is doing to this. Is there only 12 collectible trading cards they have for this?
There are 12, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but some of them include characters from that TV spot that we haven't seen before. Like, I'm watching the TV spot and I'm like, wow, they like really went all out making up new characters just for this TV commercial. It turns out those apparently are characters from the film. There are three of them that they're on the cards.
Yeah. So we have, and I'm going to butcher these names, but we have Moloch, I guess, a cyborgish alien. Mm-hmm. Argus, six eyed Panox,
like I guess,
Corrin, but with six eyes instead of just
like
the two.
Six, like on tentacle stalks.
Yeah, on stalks or whatever. Yeah. And then a therm scissor punch.
Yep.
That's a little bizarre naming. He's a crustacean looking alien. So that'd be kind of cool.
Here's what bugs me, though. They do this all the time with Star Wars. So therm scissor punch, he has these big crab like claws.
Right.
That look like they could chop you in half if he comes up and, you know, puts one around your neck and just decapitate. So scissor punch, like the names are too on the nose all the time.
Too cheesy. Yes.
Like they I'm surprised they didn't call BB-8 like Rolly Ball Droid or something. It's too on the nose.
Yeah. But like Andrea said, it's too cheesy. It's the cheese factor that gets me. It's like, it's why I don't like the jokes that C-3PO makes. It's like, no,
yes,
they're just, no,
I
just,
agree.
Not right.
Now that being said, the design for these aliens look really cool. Like this is.
Oh, they do.
In fact, I think I like the design for these better than a lot of aliens I saw in Maz Kanata's castle in episode 7, and especially more than most of what I saw from Canto Bite in episode 8. Though Canto Bite was kind of a different environment, so it's a little harder to.
Right. But I think one thing we're going to get with Solo is we're going to see these characters for more than just a passing shot through the screen, which is all we got at Maz's castle and all we got at Canto Bite, really, for the most part.
Yeah. Right. Well,
nobody was on screen for more than a second or two.
We're thinking that, but then remember Constable Zuvio, how much screen time he had. I don't remember all the scenes he was in, but
that's probably what put Toys R Us out of business. You know, all those Zuvios. Zuvios.
I believe
they had too much stock tied up in that.
They have so many, it's become a fire hazard for each of their stores. And they're not even that flammable, so that should tell you something.
Well, when I was in my Toys R Us recently here and still looking for better deals on stuff and not much out there, they still had like 20 or 30 Zuvios swinging on the pegs.
Not
like,
okay. You know what I need to get? Apparently, last summer, my son bought the family a set of Star Wars branded Super Soaker water guns.
Oh,
the one he was going to give to me mysteriously broke, so I never got mine. But got them from Toys R Us.
Much,
and, my dog likes to run around the backyard. There is no way I can catch him when he's getting into something, but he doesn't like getting squirted with water. So I need to get a Super Soaker while they might still be on sale. And if I could get a Star Wars branded one, all the better. So I need to hit a Toys R Us store while they're still open.
You should
see if I can get one.
I hope there's no animal activists like listening
water.
To this.
It's squirt guns. It's I didn't have my cats.
You know,
for
my
years,
son has a black lab, and they can't do that with him because you squirt him with the water. He's like, "Ooh, ooh, you missed a spot over here. More water, please." Because he's a water dog.
But you know, it's bad though. If you have a gun that the animals get used to it, and then you stop using it, or it breaks, then they go, "Yeah, I know it doesn't work anymore." I had a cat that I used to do this with. Getting off the counters, we had it was actually a shotgun. It had a pump action. We'd rack the gun, you know, and all you had to do was rack the gun, and the cat would run.
Right.
And then eventually the gun broke. It wouldn't fire anymore, but it would still make the sound. So I'd rack the gun once, and the cat would look at me, and I'd rack it again, and the cat would run. And another week later, I'd rack the gun second, third time, and the cat's looking at me going, "Yeah, come on. You're not going to shoot me."
Wow. See, I had a similar situation, and the cat we had, its whole life, all I had to do, it got to the point where I didn't even have to pick it up anymore. We didn't put water in it for like the last 6 years. I would just look at it and look at the cat and look at the gun, and the cat would take off. Dog did the same thing.
Oh, that's good. Anyway. Let's see, what else is Denny's doing with this tie-in? They're doing, this sounded pretty cool. A limited edition cup with the Millennium Falcon as a topper for the cup. I'm assuming some sort of travel mug type thing.
Yeah, well, your assumptions might be a little ambitious. They're kid size.
I haven't seen any pictures anywhere.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there was some place I saw pictures, and I'm trying to think of where
I've seen
it was.
The cards, and
I don't have them
the
in the
trailer.
Show notes here. It was from a different site. They're like the kid size cups The plastic cups that come with the kids' meals.
Okay, yeah.
And then it's a plastic, instead of a lid, it's a Millennium Falcon topper. It's kind of oversized, and it looks cool, but I mean, it's not
It does look cool, yeah. I'm not going to carry that around, though.
Detail. You know,
it's
the
not
best...
like in the movie theaters when they have the figurines at the very top that you always want to get.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool, and I might, like, see if, you know, if my son happens across one, he can set it aside for
there
me.
You go,
he goes
yeah.
to Denny's more than I do.
Nothing beats that travel thing with the BB-8 with the straw coming out of the top. That's pretty cool.
Yes. Oh, I've got to get one of those. That was from Disney World, right?
Parks. Yeah, Disney World has them. Parks have them.
If any of our audience members out there wanted, like, a shout-out on the show, maybe a few times, I'd be happy to do that if they wanted to somehow acquire one of those for me and send it to me. They would have my eternal gratitude. The best promotional cup lid thing I've ever seen was when The Phantom Menace came out. Trico, which is KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut. I think it might have been Taco Bell. They had the large cups, and then they'd have Jar Jar on top or Darth Maul. But the best one was the R2-D2 because it was shaped in such a way that the body of the cup was the body of R2-D2.
Oh,
and cool. So it looked like this huge R2-D2 that you could drink out of. It was awesome. I think I've still got one up in my mom's attic, but that was the best. And of course it's a large drink, so it was actually kind of practical too, but those were really awesome. But these, I think for kids, especially for being a smaller kid's size cup, I think these look pretty good.
Yeah. Not bad. Not bad.
The four cups you can get Han, Chewie, Lando, and Kira. And the toppers are all the same. It's just one.
Right. Right.
There's no variance on the top.
Which Falcon is it on top?
Well, it's the one for Solo. it's the one pre... This is not a spoiler. This is our prediction for Solo. It's pre-Kira taking off in the little escape pod module thing in the front and making a heroic sacrifice and dying at the end of the movie, which is why we never see that module on the Falcon nor Kira from that point on.
That might be a good assumption. Who knows? Let's see here. So the tie-in that Denny's is doing this is they have a charity they're actually supporting as well, too. It's No Kid Hungry, which doesn't really flow off the mouth right there.
Yeah, not that eloquent. No, but it sounds like a good charity, hungry. Though.
It does. Sounds like a great charity. So it's helping fight childhood hunger. All the proceeds that they're doing with, I think everything they're selling, right? All the cards and all the cups and stuff.
Yeah.
I know the cards you can buy either in the stores or in the restaurants or online. I think it's $3 a pack.
Yeah.
And proceeds from that are going towards this as well too.
And I think that's really cool of them too. I think that, you know, this is enough to maybe try to get fans to come into the restaurant, which is the main benefit for them anyway. They're not really making a profit off of these. It's a way to pull people in the door. And then the fact that it's going to a charity, I think makes this all the more notable. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate it that they're doing that instead of trying to make a buck off of it.
Yeah, definitely. It's nice way to do that, to give themselves some promotion, but also, you know, give back to the community as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So have you guys been following the Hasbro Lab stuff about the sail barge?
Yeah.
This has been going on for a couple of weeks now. Black Series Rebels, which I follow online, and a few other guys have been doing Black Series, I forget which account it was on Instagram. But they've been posting a bunch of stuff about this, and it's just, it's a giant Hasbro Black Series vehicle, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when I say giant, it's really giant.
I looked at the measurements on the one site I was on, and it looks like they're listing it as 49 inches in length, which is a little bit more than half again the length of the Millennium Falcon. I think the Millennium Falcon was 15 inches in length.
Wow.
Have you guys watched the video of how they
got every
little aspect of it?
I've tried not to watch a lot of it because it's like, I'm not a big sail barge fan to begin with, but I don't want to want this because it's out of my price range.
It's honestly, the only thing I want from it is Jabba the Hutt. That's the only thing I care about.
It is impressive.
But it's really nice that they walk you through a lot of the things where they got all the aspects of how they were going to create it. So I enjoyed watching the video. It was pretty entertaining and informative.
Yeah, it's worth going out of your way to watch the video. It's really
cool. Lou.
Yeah, okay, I'll probably watch it. I just don't want to have to. First of all, I can't bring it in the house because My wife. Oh, she's right here. See, I can't.
I can see her over your shoulder on the webcam.
No. I don't know where to put this. There's no way.
Well, you know, all you have to do, Lou, is if you get rid of some of the cats.
No, I'm not getting rid of the cats.
Then you could. I saw that. I saw what she said there. She's like, please, yes, finally, make him get rid of the cats.
No.
And that's the thing. I mean, not only is it huge, but it's $500.
Yeah.
And you can't, my understanding of how this works, and I tried to look it up before we recorded today, and I didn't actually see these details anywhere, but my assumption from what I'm inferring from the way it's listed, this closes tomorrow on April 3rd. If you don't buy one by then, that's it. These aren't hitting stores.
Oh, they're not.
No, I don't think so. You have to order it through this website for $4.99. And as long as they hit a minimum of 5,000 backers, they will produce it. Well, as of right now, when I was making the show notes up about an hour or two ago, they were at 7,200 orders.
Wow.
So they exceeded it by, I mean, they're creeping up on half again as many as what they required. But yeah, you have to pay for it now. And it comes with a Jabba the Hutt figure, but it also comes with the Yak Face figure, which collectors will know that the Return of the Jedi Yak Face figure was crazy difficult to get. And this is actually going to be on an exclusive Power of the Force card. So this is going to be a carded figure exclusive to this set, meaning there will be only 72 to 7,300 of them made. And a lot of those will end up getting opened up because people be stupid. You don't open these things, man. But a lot of them are going to be opened up. So the ones that are going to be mint on card are going to be pretty hot collector's items.
Pretty rare. Now, the thing I don't, you know, now granted, I have not looked into this that much because I knew I did not want one of these. But now I assumed it was going to be one of these deals where, okay, you back it. We need to get 5,000 orders to go into production. And then we're going to produce more than that. That's what I was assuming. So that's interesting that you're not going to get that.
Well, again, don't quote me on it. The more I looked into it, because I'm like, oh, maybe I'll be able to save up $500 someday. Well, no, I probably won't. But somebody I know will. And so I started looking at it. It doesn't look like that. The way it's worded, it looks like tomorrow's the cutoff.
Yep.
I didn't get it confirmed, though, so I don't know. Because with Legos, they have a similar thing where you can present an idea. I know somebody presented a Serenity set for Firefly and it came just under the number of backers I think it needed, but they do a similar thing where if they get enough backers for it, basically it's a commitment that the buyers are making to make it worth them going through the production for it. Cause if they're not going to sell enough, there's no reason to actually make them. But if they hit a certain threshold, then it becomes profitable. And, but with Lego, I think they will make it and it'll be maybe a collector's edition, but it'll be stocked in stores and it'll be available for a while, but this doesn't look that way.
See, I always thought this would be like a Kickstarter kind of thing where you back it and you might get into it early at a better price. Then it goes to market at say $650 or something like that later on. But
well, no, later on it'll be on eBay for
$5,000. Yeah.
That's what, there are still Lego collector's editions that I want that retail for $200, $250 now are $2,000 or $3,000. I want to replace my TIE Interceptor and I can't, the Falcon, you can't find that anywhere. And if you can, it's like $5,000. So like for me, $250 is rough. $500.
Yeah. I mean,
If it were like
$150 on something, this is rough sometimes. But I'm like, you know, where are you going to put this? It's 49 inches long, for Christ's sakes. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, at 4 feet.
But Lou, the people who can afford this type of collectible have entire portions of their houses dedicated to these type of collectibles.
True.
The people who can afford this probably are not the same people who have that big a concern about the space.
Probably right.
That's true.
I mean, it does look really, really awesome, but
it does. Yeah. It is. I hate Tatooine, but I will say this particular vehicle looks really impressive. I just wish they'd do like a Hoth themed sort of thing. I know they've got AT-ATs and stuff, but I want like maybe a whole Echo Base playset. That's what
I
want.
That would be fun, though.
It would.
Yeah.
How much would it be, though?
Doesn't matter.
Oh, does
Lou will get it for me for Christmas.
Yeah, so of course. Yeah, of course. Okay, so now, is this a definitive answer of how we should watch these movies now? Eric, you posted this. I haven't read this article yet, so I'm going to let you talk about this one, but is this how we should be doing it now?
You know, a lot of people look at this individual as kind of a source for important opinions, and I mean, it's not canonical, but...
He's close to the source, though.
He's about as close as... I will say this. For a fanboy... He's as close as you're going to get. So there's been a big debate for years now over the correct viewing order for the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy. I mean, the sequels, it's kind of obvious. Watch everything else and then watch The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. Mark Hamill was asked recently what his preferred viewing order was, and he said that he thinks that it should be the chronological release order. He said chronological release, but the way he described it was not the release order, but the chronological order. He kind of, his wording kind of fused the two terms together when he shouldn't have, but
maybe he wanted to confuse everyone.
Exactly. Right. He wants to not be put on the spot. You know, the viewing order, I think it should be the order in which you view the movies. No, he said episodes 1, 2, and 3. And then he later pointed out that Rogue One should then come next, and then 4, 5, and 6, and then 7 and 8. So the numeric order with Rogue One inserted between 3 and 4.
That's his
official preferred viewing method, apparently. But then, you know, he hated everything about Luke and the Last Jedi. And then later on, he recanted it. And then there was something we're going to get to later in the trivia that he really hated that George Lucas did, and then he recanted it. So who knows? Maybe, you know, ask him again in a few years and maybe he'll change his mind. But, you know, hey, when it comes to Star Wars fanboys, Mark Hamill is legitimately a fan, not just someone involved in the production. I mean, he's into geekdom in general. He was going to sci-fi conventions before landing the role of Luke Skywalker when he was young. He is a sci-fi geek fan. And, you know, if he says it, I guess it must be true.
I guess. I mean,
I don't know. I'm not going to argue with him.
Well, to me, this only matters for somebody being introduced to this stuff for the first time.
Right, right. That was the context.
Because otherwise, you watch whatever you want to watch it.
Yeah.
But for me, it's, you know, Rogue One all the time. So.
Yeah, I mean, the proper viewing order right now for the fans is episode 5, 5, Rogue One, 5, 4, Rogue One, 5, 5, 2.
I don't know about that.
Okay, maybe not 2. I liked 2, but that's okay.
Okay, so now, Eric, you've got a discussion point in here, which I kind of read through and I kind of rolled my eyes to, but...
Well, that's because I haven't even started my rant yet. Then your eyes will be rolling so hard.
So
you'll get eye strain.
Do you want to throw this out, Eric? Do you want to set this up, or do you want me to just to blurt it out and kind of say, hey, this is what we're talking about today? Because I'm not sure I have many thoughts on this, to tell you the truth.
So for me, this is my thoughts are more, I think, about the state of Star Wars news media. I guess I'm trying to figure out how to word that. I'll come back to that in a minute. So Laura Dern did an interview recently with Entertainment Weekly, who, by the way, has some awesome stuff on Star Wars. If you don't get Entertainment Weekly, you might want to consider it. It's inexpensive. They always have the early Star Wars leaks. They had some great stuff about Avengers Infinity War. This last week had Ready Player One, and they had some really cool stuff about Easter eggs that the graphic artists were trying to slip by Steven Spielberg. Which is kind of a funny story, but Laura Dern was giving an interview with them. And it was about her character, Admiral Holdo. And there's some quotes here. And the article is talking about, the article says, and I'll quote the article here, Laura Dern has revealed that her violet-haired resistance leader, like Leia Organa herself, was Force-sensitive. And I'm like, what? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I saw this on some blogs and I'm like, well, let me go actually read the art, you know, screw all of the blog commentary and stuff. I want to get to the actual article and form my own opinion on this here. So I kind of breezed through a lot of the article and I wanted to see what the actual words from Laura Dern were. And she said, in their minds, And she's referring to Kathleen Kennedy and
Ryan Johnson. Ryan Johnson.
Right. And I don't know why my brain just blanked.
I wasn't sure
there,
where you were going with that. Like,
so Kathleen Kennedy and Ryan Johnson and the people who wrote for episode 8, she said in their minds and in their understanding of the origin story, we know that she was a true rebel in the resistance. And in our culture, we might have called her a hippie. But she was longing for peace and a revolutionary in that way and wanted to be trained by and led by Leia, who taught her everything she knows. She wanted to come up in the ranks to support Leia's mission, but also had this otherworldly side that does involve the Force. Okay, now another quote. There's something about her that longs to protect it regarding the Force and holds that with great care. There's sort of a light on and a wisdom that she speaks about in the film and speaks to Oscar Isaac's character briefly about it. And then in yet another quote. Yeah, her primary goal was to protect the light, to protect the Force, and to keep the revolutionaries alive. And I think the film speaks so beautifully to that with this last image of the next generation of the resistance, you know? So, first of all, everything she said in these quotes is fine, and I'm with her on that. I liked Admiral Holdo as a character.
Yeah. I did too.
She was in not the Bloodlines novel. She was in the more recent Leia novel that came out.
Yes.
Whose full name I don't recall it. I just call it the Leia novel. And I liked her character there as well. And I think it's cool that they tied her character in from the novel into the movie. And I appreciate all of that. And I thought Laura Dern did a great job in the movie. I'm very much pro Holdo. But
yeah, I read this article, or I read the clip she had here and looked at the article, and I'm thinking to myself, like, did I fall asleep? Did I miss a whole section of the movie where they talked about her being Force sensitive? I'm like, I didn't get that. I mean, they may have talked about that behind the scenes, you know, in the powers that be making the movie, but if you were trying to communicate that to, you know, me, the film audience, you failed.
Right.
Yeah. Because I didn't get that at all.
Well, one of the things that they were saying in the article was that just like Leia, she probably could use the Force in a different way that was never used in with the other characters. So I was like, well, that's far reaching. Like, I just, again, like you said, I didn't see it in the movie. There was no indication that that was going to be part of her storyline.
If you look at what she actually says here too, and I guess, you know, if George had this sort of thing all the time too, where he had these elaborate backstories for the characters in that were in the background, and that's great. I love that sort of thing. That's part of what makes Star Wars immersive and such a thick, dense galaxy. Right. So I'm okay with that conceptually. If Kathleen Kennedy and Ryan Johnson and anybody else involved with this decided that Holdo was supposed to have been Force sensitive, okay. But the quotes from Laura don't even actually say that. And here you've got Entertainment Weekly, and I'm all about Entertainment Weekly, okay? So I'm not trying to diss them. But in this case, for them to say, like Leia Organa herself, Holdo was Force sensitive. Well, Leia is one of the Skywalker twins.
Right.
So there's a pretty solid, logically based assumption that she at least has the inherent talent, if not the trained skill, but the inherent talent that Luke would have in the Force. Anything that Luke is able to do, Leia, with the sufficient training and focus and meditation and years put into it, she could be doing the same thing. This is saying that Holdo is, quote, like Leia Organa herself. And I'm thinking, no. And looking at the quote, in their minds and in their understanding of the origin story, we know that she was a true rebel in the resistance. Okay. And in our culture, we might have called her a hippie. Okay. But yeah, probably true, especially if you look back at the Leia novel. But she was longing for peace and a revolutionary in that way and wanted to be trained and led by Leia. Now, I look at that as I mean, Leia was predominantly a political person and a rebel cell leader. So that's how I took that context of her wanting to be trained by and led by Leia. And we see that roll out in the film.
Sure.
She wanted to come up in the ranks to support Leia's mission, but also had this otherworldly side that does involve the Force. Well, the Force kind of involves everything, doesn't it?
Like, yeah.
Obi-Wan and Yoda kind of pointed that out. Like, it binds the galaxy together and penetrates us. And
you're
all
not
this.
Going down the midichlorians path, are you?
I'm not going there yet. I'll okay, go there if I have okay. to. I will do it. I will pull out a midichlorian counter.
The Force all around us, it binds all living things. Yeah, I understand that. It's like duct tape. But, you know, it doesn't mean she's able to control the Force.
Force powers, right.
Yeah, it's just not even a little bit. I mean, oh my goodness. And I know it's not canonical now, but you think back to, I forget which, was it the Jedi Academy trilogy where Luke had developed that test where you could touch part of your mind and feel if you were sensitive in the Force and it would push back at him or whatever.
Yeah, the Vulcan mind pinch thing. What was it?
No, it wasn't the
Vulcan. Mind meld. That's it. Mind meld.
But, and that was a test he was doing. If he caught wind of somebody that was able to, you know, whatever, do things that, you know, were verging on precognition or whatever, that maybe they were force sensitive, he'd go and test them and try to recruit them for the Jedi Academy. And I know that's not canon anymore, but, I mean, everybody can't be force sensitive, can they?
Right.
I mean, doesn't that degrade the whole aspect of the Force?
And so the counterpoint, I guess, would be, well, we're not saying everybody, we're just saying Holdo. Okay. But, I mean, like what you're saying, Lou, the Force can affect everybody, but that doesn't mean you can really tap into it or that it has a direct influence on you. And there's nothing Laura Dern says in any of these quotes. She doesn't use the term Force sensitive.
No.
She doesn't say, I mean, she talks in such a vague way that, I mean, I hate to go back to the hippie reference, but it's very much, I see it as more a hippie version of Lor San Tekka. He didn't have any Force ability, but he was very much about protecting the ways of the Force. In fact, he's probably closer to being Force sensitive in my mind than Holdo, even after these quotes from Laura Dern. I mean, she's talking about wanting to protect the light and protect the Force. Okay. Arguably the entire Resistance wanted that.
Right. And you can have protectors of the Force or protectors of the Resistance that, you know, I'm thinking back to maybe, you know, in different mythology, but, you know, priests that are protecting the temple that aren't necessarily gods or anything, but they're protecting the temple for the gods.
Well, and look at the Wills in Rogue One.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
Chirrut probably, I mean, Chirrut definitely seemed to be Force sensitive, but Baze wasn't. And yet he was interested in protecting, you know, the Wills and the Force and all that.
Yep. This to me just seems like, you know, I don't want to say a grab for power or making yourself into more important than you really are, but it doesn't seem like it fits into the story that we got, and I don't want it to dilute the Force. I don't want it to make it more commonplace than it really is. I mean,
right.
I want it to be fantastical. I want it to be on that fantasy side of the spectrum where, you know, only maybe 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 1,000,000 people are able to control the Force and to different levels of ability. It just doesn't make sense to do this. And I love the Holdo character, but nothing about the story gave me anything to think she was Force sensitive.
So here's my big beef with this. Even if you want to argue that she is, and I think if you look back at the novel portrayal of her, she's a little more, how do we want to put it? More spiritual perhaps. And I can see her at least having an interest in tapping into the Force, if not any success with it, I don't know. If you want to say, and I'm saying, if Kathleen Kennedy or the powers that be want to say she's Force sensitive, okay, that's fine. I accept that. But what I see instead is Entertainment Weekly magazine saying she's Force sensitive based on what they wanted to read from Laura Dern's statements. I feel like they're reading too much into it. And then what really kind of grinds my gears about this is that every Star Wars related blog or movie blog since then has been posting, hey, Holdo's force sensitive. Well, no, some other magazine said that she is. And based on some quotes that kind of allude to the possibility of it, but don't actually say that she is. But like now everybody stated that this is a fact. She is this.
Right.
And they're getting it from somebody else's interpretation, arguably misinterpretation. But at best, it looks like they're reading more into this than what Laura Dern's actually saying. And I guess that's really what bugs me, is that like, this doesn't convince me that this is actually what was meant by this. And I'm sure at some point, maybe Pablo will speak up. And once it's official, you know, I'm not arguing whether she should or shouldn't be force sensitive. If it's official, then great. I'm just saying this isn't actually been officially stated. This is
right.
Just something that we're now trying to force into being canon when it technically isn't, but I guess everybody on the internet now is proceeding as if it is.
But then again, the thing is that right now, in the simplest terms, why is it important now? Are we ever going to see her again? Like,
she's going to come back as a force ghost.
Oh gosh.
Because she's force sensitive now.
No.
Yes. I solved the mystery. There you go. Thank you, Andrea.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for.
No, that's a really good point. Well, I mean, I guess, so that's a good question. And if I had to stretch to come up with an answer for it, I mean, there's been so much hatred for episode 8 that if this makes people have something to appreciate about episode 8, I guess I'm begrudgingly okay with it in that regard, because I want people to like the movie. There were a lot of kind of crappy aspects of it, but I still really enjoyed the movie and I'd like people to enjoy it. But yeah, why right. now? Like, why is it important, and why is it important right now? Good question.
I mean, it is sad how something gets taken out of context and everybody runs with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we don't know any facts about this. I mean, it's not, like you said, it's not written in stone. And
you know what? It's Lucasfilm's fault for giving us so little information about the universe and the backstories for things right now that we have to go in and like we cling to any little scrap or morsel of breadcrumb that falls off the table.
Yeah, but come on. They did a really good job with Phasma. Well, not really. Snoke. They did a really good job with Snoke. They gave a lot of... there was a Praetorian Guard. They gave the Knights of Ren. They gave all kinds of... you know, you're right, Eric. They haven't given us a lot of detail.
Speculating
on everything. I mean, it's like, you have all these cool things that we're going... Okay. Yeah. I want more of that.
Yeah. I mean, all due respect to Pablo, I mean, the visual guides to the movies have actually been really cool about filling in some background details. But again, I mean, we're talking about people who've grown up with generations worth of Star Wars, and there's, I mean, even with the Clone Wars between Pablo and Dave Filoni, when we had questions after a particular episode, we generally got answers if they were a little, you know, detail oriented, hey, what's this alien race called sort of questions. I mean, obviously they weren't going to give away plot lines or character arcs or who's going to live or die. But, and then we had all of the Legends books to fill in the blanks, and we had countless, you know, the West End Games role-playing game books and the Decipher trading card or collectible card game set. It was actually an encyclopedia of Star Wars lore, just about, to the point where they actually had like levels broken down for who was how force sensitive. But I guess there's just this vacuum right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I can kind of understand why this is important to people, because it's one of the few things that we might learn about this character who everybody liked and then they immediately killed off.
Right, right.
Which is not the first time we've had that happen. I guess I can understand why people want to gravitate toward filling the blanks on stuff. I just really don't think that this is necessarily what Entertainment Weekly wants it to be. And then I think too many other Star Wars blogs and stuff, they're seeing this, they're seeing the headline, and they're trying to jump on it and get it posted right away so that they're covering news. And I don't really see it as news. I see it as one journalist's interpretation of the news. And again, all due respect to Entertainment Weekly. I at the beginning of this conversation, I plugged their magazine and recommended people get it. I stand by that. I just think that they kind of took something and they were grasping at straws a little bit and took it a little too far. Just my two cents.
Quite possibly. Well, unless anybody has anything else, I think that does wrap up our discussion for this week. Now, Eric, is it your turn for fun facts and trivia?
I have no idea. I have a couple of quick things because I know Tim isn't here. I didn't know whose turn it is. If you have something you want to go with.
No, I actually don't yet. Tim is not here and I was slacking. So if you have something, or we can put Andrea in the spot. No.
What am I supposed to do?
Well, you're supposed to come up with the trivia question we're not going to know the answer to.
Oh, well, yeah, good luck.
Yeah, okay, well, I got something then. You know, we talked about Jabba's sail barge earlier in the show, and I also mentioned something that Mark Hamill wasn't all that thrilled about with George Lucas, and this kind of ties the two together in the sense that they're both about names.
Okay.
So, number one, and close your browser window if you still have it open from the article earlier, Lou. What is the name of Jabba's sail barge?
It had a name?
It had a name. Yeah. It was christened with a name. Now, I'm gonna go on record. I'm not gonna pretend to be all knowledgeable about something I'm not. I did not know this until I looked at the webpage where you could order it. So I'm gonna go out and on record saying I did not know this either.
I need to remember this because I just read it. Oh my goodness.
Where did you read it?
It was in the
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if it was maybe it was a story you read or I was trying to think of where this is from.
No, link that you click on to actually go and order the thing that you didn't click on because you didn't want to be even more sad about it than you already are.
Right.
Yeah, it was on that page.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, did it have a name? Where was it named before that, though?
That I don't know. And again,
a visual guide or something?
I'm not claiming to
it
be an expert.
It starts with a K.
And there's a lot of things I forget. But when it comes to the original trilogy stuff, I'm really, really good at this kind of minutiae and more obscure lore. And I can tell you that in the, four decades we're on now since the original trilogy was released, I don't remember it actually ever getting a name. So I don't know where this originated from.
Okay.
But yes, Andrea is correct. It begins with a K. She knows what it is because she looked it up.
No, something like that. Something like that. I'm going to butcher the name.
Okay. It is, in fact, the katana.
Oh, yay.
But it is not like the Japanese katana sword.
No, it is spelled
K-H-E-T-A-N-N-A.
Huh. Okay.
So the katana, not the katana. Yeah, I have no idea. You know, Lou, that's a great question. If anybody out there does know, yeah. And I'm sure it's on Wikipedia or something. I didn't bother to look it up, but that's a really good question. Probably. I'd love to know when they actually came up with it and who, like in what form of media it first appeared with the name. It's got to be somewhere. And it's probably in some book that I read ages ago and just never paid attention to because it's Tatooine and I hate Tatooine. All right. So name related thing, we all know that Luke Skywalker's original last name was not Skywalker. It was Starkiller. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
And Mark Hamill, this is a quote, and I don't know where this is a quote from. I think it might be from Latino Review. If we ever mention LRM online, by the way, I know that gets mentioned sometimes for random chatter, and Tim always forgets what site, like where the site originated. That's actually Latino Review. They're a really good source on stuff.
Okay.
But Mark Hamill said, it was George's idea. I was so used to Starkiller, I didn't like the new name and complained. Skywalker? It's awful. Sounds like Luke Flyswatter. I was so used to Starkiller, I had trouble getting used to Skywalker. So this happened so late in production that there's one prominent scene where they had to actually go back and refilm the scene specifically so that they could change what was filmed from Starkiller to Skywalker. What scene was it?
Oh boy.
Ooh. In A New Hope.
In A New Hope.
Now, see, that sounds like a really hard question, but the more you think about it, there aren't a lot of options.
Yeah, if I had to make a guess, and this just comes to mind because it's the only time I remember him speaking his name, was when he bursts into the detention cell and says, "I'm Luke Skywalker, I'm here to rescue you."
Okay, Andrea, what do you think?
I have no idea. I'm drawing blank right now.
Okay. See, Andrea's the guest, so we have to put her on the spot. That's kind of how we work this whole trivia thing. Lou, you are correct. It was in the detention block. They had to go
and I think reshoot that scene. I think it's the only time he ever said his name, isn't it? I mean, how often do you say, "Hi, I'm Lou Seki"? How often do you say that?
You know, I believe it's the only time that he mentions his last name, and I'm trying to think of anywhere else in the film where anybody else mentions his name. Yeah, can you think of anything?
I can't off the top of my head.
What about when they're in the cantina and Chewie introduces them? Does Obi-Wan Kenobi introduce him and Luke to Han? I don't remember whether he does or not.
They do. No, I think because they're kind of trying to stay, you know, low key and under the radar and not saying.
Right. Yeah. I remember Obi-Wan introduces Han to Luke.
Right.
So our homework is to watch the movie.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, I could cheat and find a script somewhere and do a search for it, but then, you know, filming is sometimes they deviate from the script and it's not what actually ends up in the movie. Yeah. So I don't know where else it's mentioned, but that is the scene, in fact, that they had to go back and reshoot. And it might be the only time his name appears in the film. I don't know. Luke Flyswatter. I think we have our episode title.
There you go. Luke Flyswatter. That's a good name. And while we're doing this, I was kind of looking over Wikipedia on the katana. Mm-hmm. And it does say that the first identified in the Ultimate Star Wars guide.
Okay.
As the name of the vessel.
See, like reference books.
Yeah, that to me doesn't.
It's,
you know, yeah.
It counts. It definitely counts. But
yeah.
But it's like I never would have come across
in a story. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But that's good to know where it came from then. I mean, and that is an old resource too. It's been around for a while.
Yeah. Wikipedia, I mean, appearances says it was in a Clone War, but this doesn't say it was by name. So, you know, the sail barge has appeared in a bunch of stuff. Sources wise, it's been a bunch of different things, but yeah, it doesn't really say.
Surprised I didn't know that it even had, literally up to 3 hours before recording tonight, if you'd asked me what the name was, I would have said, well, it was never named. It's just a sailboat.
Exactly, yeah.
I can tell you all kinds of other stuff.
My first response was, it had a name?
Right. Like, Mos Eisley was originally called Fort Tusken. The crashed ship in the middle of the town square was called the Dowager Queen. I mean, I can tell you all kinds of stuff about Tatooine, as much as I hate the place, but it's weird that I can't believe I didn't even know that it had a name, let alone what it was. I failed.
Yeah. What kind of Star Wars fan are you?
I know, right?
Okay. Well, thank you for the trivia, Eric. That was pretty good stuff. I actually like both those. Those were clever things to figure out.
Well, thank you.
I don't have anything else unless you guys have something burning you want to bring up.
Andrea, you're the guest. Is there anything that you want to get off your chest about Star Wars? Or?
I'm scared of the Solo movie. I don't know.
Well, that could be a whole other podcast episode.
A lot of us are, yeah.
In fact, we might actually have to do a pre-Solo podcast and just kind of discuss what our concerns are and kind of get some of that stuff off our chest.
We said we were going to do that with Ready Player One, and we never had the chance just because schedules didn't work out. But we really should do it for Solo.
The funny thing was, after seeing Ready Player One, like now it's going to be so much worse than it would have been if we'd recorded before we saw the movie.
Yeah, it's like all your fears and then some came true.
Right, right. but I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, I was going to cover this in an episode of A Little Short for a podcast, but I'm kind of getting to the point where I want to like Star Wars stuff without everybody telling me why I'm stupid for liking it. Like, yeah, I get that there were problems with The Last Jedi, and that's fine because you know what? There are problems in Ready Player One. There was problems in the Deadpool movie. There are problems in the Avengers. There are problems in like every freaking movie that's out there. And there was a lot of good stuff in The Last Jedi too. And listen, if you ask me right now for my top 10 complaints, I can come up with 10 complaints about The Last Jedi without referring to any notes or anything, probably not even pausing for a breath. It's not that the problems aren't there. I just rather focus on the cool stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think
that's one of the hardest things.
That it is hard. Like, yeah. And the community is making it hard because everybody gets so wrapped up. We talked about this before. Everybody gets so wrapped up in their own personalized ownership of their own internal nostalgia about Star Wars that anything that deviates from that is sacrilege to them. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten to a point as a society where we can't discuss differences anymore. We have to fight over differences. And I'm sick of that. And I'm sad to see that those real world sociological communication issues are now permeating the Star Wars fandom, where it used to be that we could go for unity.
Right. We all like the same things, but now you're right. There's too much of that. They owe me this.
Yeah.
You know, I've grown up with this and they owe me this story. You know, it's like, no.
And there's so much about Star Wars that can bring us together.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we focusing on all the stuff that separates us? Now, that being said, I do have some complaints about Solo, and I would like to talk about them, I guess. And hopefully the movie will turn out to be really good. But
well, you know, and it's sad because I said this before on the show that this is the first movie in a long time that I don't care if I get things spoiled. I'm going to look for stuff.
Right.
I'm actively seeking about because it to
you
me.
You didn't even want to see it originally. I mean, you didn't want. You didn't really care to have it happen.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, like I said before, other movies, it's not what I want, but I'm going to watch it because it's Star Wars and it's what I, you know, I want Star Wars.
Right.
But I don't think we need this story. And you know, I must say, as we're getting closer and closer to the release of Solo, I am less and less excited about this and interested in it. I've never been not excited for a Star Wars movie before.
I think the biggest thing is like, I feel nervous because I'm still going to watch it and I'm probably still going to enjoy it. But the vibe that it gives off is not the same vibe as I've gotten with every other Star Wars movie. And that's the hardest thing to wrap my head around. Looking at the trailer, it doesn't give me the goosebumps that I got with every other Star Wars movie. There's a different feel to
it.
Still can't wrap my head around it. It feels a little bit too childish for me. But again, this is a topic for another podcast because we could just spend another hour here.
I am really hoping that we don't. And I guess my biggest fear right now with Solo is that I am worried we're going to get stuff that's going to actively contradict things that we've all taken for granted before. It's going to go against the grain of how we
historical thought. Star Wars wiped off the face of reality. So things disrupting what came before. I mean, that's kind of par for the course at this point,
I suppose. Yeah.
I see what you're saying though. Yeah. It's,
I think in your head, right ahead, nervous is a really good way to put that.
I will say, two things regarding the nervousness. I certainly agree with it. I'm nervous as well, but keep in mind, we haven't actually gotten a trailer. We've gotten a teaser.
That's true.
Teasers don't really tell you anything about the movie. They show you things,
right?
But they don't really describe the movie to you. They don't give you a plot summary or anything like that. And we are supposed to be getting a trailer. Ron Howard said we'll be getting the first and only trailer pretty soon. We're not used to being this close to a release date for a Star Wars movie with this little footage. And I'm sure that it has to do with how close the, excuse me, I'm sure it has to do with how close to the release date for this is to The Last Jedi. And that kind of put them in a different mode for marketing that they've never been in before. But we're not used to being this close to it and not really having an actual trailer telling us what to expect from the story. So that's part of it. As to what you said, Lou, I'm kind of on the opposite side of the fence in the sense that the more I see of the movie, the more interested I am getting into seeing it. Less about Han Solo, more about I'm really looking forward to seeing Donald Glover as Lando. I'm hoping to see a stronger presence for Chewbacca because other than, I guess, episode, well, I guess he was prominent in Return of the Jedi as well. Other than 4, 5, and 6, Chewbacca's really been a background character.
And I do want to see some more Chewie. I thought he was treated like a dog in the last movie. So I want Chewbacca to get a lot of love.
He's a backpack character. He's someone that tags along with the protagonist so that he's there in case they need him. He doesn't actually do anything on his own. So I'm interested in seeing Chewbacca. And then Kira, some of the new villains. I'm more interested in seeing the world of Solo, I think, than I am Han Solo himself. And the world so far looks pretty good.
I'm hoping to get a lot more background of the Empire.
Yeah.
You know, in kind of the way they operate and what their function is, not just the big bad over looming, you know, evil Empire, but the day-to-day, the guys that are doing the grunt work that are
right. You know, how does it affect your local community sort of Empire?
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we haven't really seen that yet in Star Wars. We've always seen, you know, the White House and the Oval Office. We've never really seen the local, how is it affecting your hometown sort of thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we don't have long to wait. May 25th is coming up pretty soon.
Oh, it is. Month and a half.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, I think that brings us to the end of the episode then in that case. Andrea, thank you very much for joining us. It's been wonderful to have you on, and we'll be sure to tell Tim how great you were because Tim wasn't here to witness that. So
no, next time that you guys talk, just tell him that he's been booted off. It's okay.
Tim has been replaced. She's just moving right in. I see that.
Wow. Awesome.
Making myself comfortable.
His seat's not even cold yet. Look at that.
So if anybody has any feedback for us and wants to tell us to replace, you know, Tim with Andrea, you can send us that in email format. By sending us an email to echobase@randomchatter.com. That's the best way to get a hold of us. It goes to all three of the hosts, four hosts now, I guess. You can also find us online on Twitter.
Poor guy gets sick and look at this. Man, remind me never to get sick.
Oh, boy. On Twitter, you can find us at Echo Base Podcast. You can find the network at Random Chatter. You can find me on Twitter. It's just my name, at Lou Secchi, Lousecki. Andrea, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Cats Bears. That's KatzBearz.
For those of you who don't speak Canadian, Z is a Z.
Yeah, we do have an American translator available.
Yes.
Thank you.
Eric, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Eric Blythe. That's ErikBlythe. And I'm going to pull for you, Tim. You can find Tim at Qui-Gon Tim with two M's.
Can't do that.
I feel bad now. It's a sympathy plug.
We do have a new Instagram account for the Outer Rim Network. Follow us out there for Star Wars stuff we're posting out there sporadically. We do have one for the network itself, too. It's just Random Chatter on Instagram. You can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. Best place to find all of our content. We have polls up online. We have different articles being posted and all kinds of shows all the time.
And don't forget randomchatter.com/moviedraft. as well. Be sure you participate there. You know, Lou, you mentioned the Outer Rim Network when you were talking about Instagram, and we're still looking to launch that. The big hurdle so far is that we're about to launch a spin-off Star Wars discussion show where we're kind of doing what we used to do before, where it used to be, well, originally Outer Rim was the show for news and then Echo Base was a discussion show. We're going to keep Echo Base covering news, but we want to branch out and have a new discussion show with not the Outer Rim name, but with a new name. We just don't have a name yet. So if anybody out there has a good name for a Star Wars discussion show, something that's not already taken, for which there's a Twitter account available, pass it along. I mean, we're really, when we say we, I mean, I am really, really overly picky about names. So don't be offended if we don't pick yours. I know Lou physically groans anytime I mention that we need a new name for a show, because he knows what that's going to involve in the months to come, because that's how long it normally takes. But if anybody has any good suggestions, please let us know. If we use your idea, we'll mention you on the show. Maybe we'll even bring you on as a guest. We could really use some ideas. So
the katana. There but we go. Nobody,
so here's the thing. So that's a good point. I'm glad you said that. We need to also have something that, number one, would not easily be misspelled. And and number two, that is not such an obscure reference that self-proclaimed Star Wars experts of four decades wouldn't even know that it existed, let alone what the name was. Like, we don't want to go too obscure. We want it to be easily recognizable by any Star Wars fan, if not also by more tangential fans. You know, it needs to be something that is inherently Star Wars related. So anyway, back to the closing credits here. We would love it if you'd leave us reviews on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, on wherever you get your podcasts. Please leave us reviews. In fact, if you just get it through your iPhone or your Android phone and you don't really go through someplace that does reviews, if you have an iTunes account, hop into iTunes, give us a review there. It's still kind of the predominantly, probably the most common way for people to discover podcasts. There's a big database there. That would be a big help to us if you could do that. Tell your friends about us. We know that you're out there talking about Star Wars to other people. You obviously like Star Wars enough to listen to this podcast. So as you're talking to other people, let them know about Echo Base. And another way you can support us is on Patreon. If you go to randomchatter.com/Patreon, there's more information there. The main thing is, you guys probably already know by now, Patreon is a way that you can help support us financially, but we can kind of give you some perks, an incentive for doing so, a way to give back to people. And we wanted to make our most important perk accessible to everybody. Now, you can join our Discord server by going to randomchatter.com/Discord, and that will get you into our main lobby. You can chat with everybody there, all of the staff members on the network. We've got some good discussions going on there, but that's for the main lobby. If you donate $1 a month to help support the costs of the network, then we open up the entire Discord server to you. Well, and not the staff, like not the admin sections, obviously, but all of the different discussion groups. There's a lot of stuff going on there, and that's just for $1 a month. That's for less than half of the price of a large soda at a drive-thru. Okay? And I know that seems like small and insignificant. To us, it's not. We're trying to go for the quantity over quality. We're not asking for big, huge donations. We're just asking for $1 from as many people as are willing to help out. And it really does help support the network. I was kind of off the grid for a couple of weeks, so we had a little bit of a delay in our Mortis trilogy viewing. We are still doing that. That's part of the Random Chatter Theater perk that starts at $5. We are going to be watching the Mortis trilogy together.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I have not watched that in a long time, and I know I've been missing some stuff. And now it's more relevant with the wrap-up of Rebels. This is a perfect time to go back and watch it. We're going to do it as a community together. If you want to be part of that, head over to randomchatter.com/Patreon. And then finally, the music you hear in this podcast is the Imperial March by Cell Dweller and the Force Theme by Scandroid.
Okay, that's about it. We're going to close the blast doors, and we'll come back at you guys in about a week.